Good morning. Of all the introductions I've ever had, this certainly was the latest one. Thank you. That was a good joke. Only this side laugh. I didn't hear this side. You were late, sir. Pastor Kendrick, thank you so much for allowing me, and Melissa, for allowing me to stand in your pulpit today. I'm very, very honored to be here with you. From the first time I met your pastor, I knew that there was something special. And right away, I asked him to go to breakfast and got to hear his story. And I was told that I only have 30 minutes, so set a timer for 30 minutes. Even with that, I'm going to forget. I was speaking to a group of Hispanic pastors last Tuesday at a conference, and it was about Muslim evangelism, and I was given a certain amount of time, and it took me 3 hours to get up to the campground, and it was 3 hours back. And so when I got up there, I said, ladies and gentlemen, they've been given so much time here. I drove 3 hours to be here. And I want you to know, and I looked at the people who had put the conference together, there are white Americans, but the rest of us were minorities. And I looked at the people who had put the conference together. I said, I'm an Iranian speaking to a bunch of Hispanic pastors. This means nothing to us. And I drove 3 hours to be here. I'm going to speak as long as I want to. So, and I was joking, but nevertheless, they went ahead and allowed me. And it went so well, they called me back after lunch to do the same thing. So, from the first time I met your pastor, I said, this is a guy I want to get to know more. And the reason for it is I have a special place in my heart for those who have served our nation. My son and my daughter-in-law both are majors in the Air Force working out of the Pentagon right now. And I regret the fact that I wasn't able to serve because when I came here, thank you, because I was not an American when I first came here. But that's another story, and I'm not here today to talk about that part of my life. I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in a Muslim family in Iran. I came to the United States in 1969 to go to college. I became a follower of Jesus in 1971, started the first Iranian church in the U.S. in 1978, pastored till 2001. Been married to my wife, Karen, for 45 years. Have two children and three grandchildren. My daughter is an amazing chiropractor, and her husband is a tremendous videographer. I've been a regional coordinator for the Middle East for a mission organization. I've been a Bible college student, and this is what I do today. And you're going to see a short video right now. With sound, nuclear bomb, terrorism, persecution. There's no doubt that today Iran conjures up feelings of fear. But like any other nation, they're just the people who need the love of Christ. My name is Shahrukh Afshar, and I am from Iran. I started the first Iranian Christian organization in the United States. It's my heart's passion and mission to reach the Muslim world with the gospel, and especially in my birthplace of Iran. Today, Iran is one of the most economically and socially depressed nations in the world. About one-fourth of the population of 76 million is 14 years old or younger, and it's this segment of the population who suffers most. Without freedom, hope, and salvation, many of these young men and women turn to prostitution, alcoholism, and drugs. In fact, per capita, Iran has the highest number of addicts in the world. The answer to this world of hopelessness is Jesus. But Iran is hard to reach. The price for becoming a Christian is great,
converts could face persecution, imprisonment, or even death. But despite this, God is working. Iran is open to the gospel like never before. Iran has one of the fastest growing Christian population in the world today. So we have developed a show that will deliver the message of Jesus directly into people's hearts and homes. Through this life-changing program delivered via satellite TV, our ultimate goal is not only to win young Iranians to Christ, but to disciple them also. A support network of Iranian Christian nationals is already in place, equipped to mentor and disciple new believers in Christ. At any given time, 3 to 6 million viewers will be watching our programs in Iran. And our satellite footprint will reach even further into the Middle East, North Africa, and Europe. We no longer need to feel helpless, but hopeful, because here is a real, effective, non-threatening way that we can reach a Muslim nation for Christ. Your prayer support and financial contributions are critical. Will you join our mission in reaching Iran for Christ? As a former Iranian Muslim, I know firsthand that Muslim lives can be transformed. So join with me in supporting this radical and powerful vision to reach Iran with the gospel. Please visit our website at www.shazamfactor.com for more information.
So, thank you. This is what I started 4 or 5 years ago, and this is how I accomplish what the Lord had put on my heart. There's another short video we're going to watch.
شرم اون سنگینی مبهمیست که بر جانمون فشار میاره و اجازه نمیده در زندگی راضی باشیم. شرم احساسیه که میتونه بقیه احساسات ما رو تحت تاثیر قرار بده. شرم دائما میگه تو لایق نیستی. تو از معیاری پیوسته کوتاه میای. اون احساسی که وقتی از حضورش در زندگی آگاه هستیم از خودمون بدمون میاد. حالا چه تأثیری میذاره؟ اولا دل سردی. وقتی دائما به شما گفته شده تو آدم بشو نیستی، یا وقتی نسبت به معیاری که اجتماع یا اطرافیانت برای تو درست کرده دائما کم میاری، بالاخره دل سرد و ناامید میشی. اگه مستعد شرم داشتن هستی، مستعد افسردگی هم هستی. من شخصا معتقدم که دلیل افسردگی بسیاری از ایرانیان احساس خجالته. اون سنگ احساس شرم دور گردن ما روز به روز سنگین‌تر و سنگین‌تر میشه تا جایی که تبدیل به افسردگی میشه. وقتی افسردگی شروع میشه، احساس شرم بیشتر میشه. افسردگی کمبودی در ما به وجود میاره که باعث میشه احساس کنی که بر زندگی خودت کنترلی نداری و شخص بی‌مصرفی هستی. شرم باعث احساس بی‌مصرفی میشه. تو هر چقدر تو زندگی موفق باشی، چون دائما از یک معیار نامرئی که جامعه برات درست کرده کم میاری، بالاخره احساس بی‌مصرفی میکنی. آیا راه حلی برای این احساس شرم فرهنگی، اجتماعی و یا خانوادگی وجود داره؟ بله، و اسمش فیضه. فیض شروع سلامتیه، چون چیزی رو به ما میده که بهش نیاز داریم. فیض میگه تو مورد قبولی بدون توجه به این که قبول کنی اصلا هستی یا نیستی. فیض یه هدیه است، هدیه مقبول بودن. فیض لقب دیگه است برای خدا. وقتی شما اون رو تجربه میکنید، یعنی مقبولیت رو تجربه میکنید. مطمئن ترین درمون برای احساس طرد بودن، کشف مقبولیت توسط فیض الهیه. دوستان عزیز، در انجیل میخونیم که مسیح به خاطر شادی که در انتظارش بود متحمل مرگ روی صلیب شد و به شرم مردن بر روی صلیب اهمیت نداد. خداوند شرمندگی ما رو بر روی عیسی گذاشت و به جای ما او رو محکوم و تنبیه کرد. این آزادی از شرم یک هدیه گرانبهاست که مستقیما مربوط به فیض خداونده. عامل آزادی از شرم، اون عاملی که بدون توجه به قابلیت یا عدم قابلیت تو میگه فرزندم، تو مورد تایید من هستی، چون عیسی تو اون شرم تو رو داد. البته قبول یا رد این هدیه با توه. اگه آماده ای که از احساس شرم رها بشی و دیگه در نظر خود و خداوند روسیه و رسوا نباشی، این فیض متعلق به توه. از خداوند طلب کن که در نام عیسی مسیح این فیض رو به تو عطا کنه. بگو خدایا من این فیض رو می طلبم. به نام عیسی مسیح منو از شرمم آزاد کن.
Thank you. This was not what I wanted to show, but it's part of it. But I appreciate it. It took some of my teaching time now. I'm just kidding. Thank you very much. I just wanted you to have an idea of how I do that. Now, some of you might say, hey, you talk about shame. You didn't talk about guilt. Well, it's because Middle Eastern culture is called shame-based culture. And that's another story. I'll talk about it some other time. But we often want people to start from where we are instead of going to where they are and taking on where they're supposed to go. Our teaching should be incarnational. The Lord God didn't stand up there saying, hey, I'm up here. You want to reach me? Come on up. Because he knew pretty much how incapable of doing that we are. So instead, he became one of us, to us, to show us where he wants us to be. And this is how you do evangelism. I want to read a few verses to you. I'm reading from Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. He was looking for a loophole. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And of course, Jesus goes on to give him the story about what? Thank you. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear most of you, so thank you for yelling at me. I don't want to read the rest. And he tells them who the neighbor is. And then he goes on, which one of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. How many of you are familiar with the American poet, writer, intellectual Carl Sandburg? Thank you. Older people. No, seriously. My wife and I visited his museum, which is in Ashburn, in South Carolina. Or is it North Carolina? And the man was extremely fascinated by Abraham Lincoln, and he did a lot of writing, wrote a lot of books about Abraham Lincoln. And as I was going through some of the books, I came across a book that's called Lincoln Inspirational. Devotional, excuse me. And this is what I read. Henry C. Deming, congressman from Connecticut, reported that when Lincoln was asked why, with his obvious interest in religious matters and his familiarity with the Bible, he did not join a church. Lincoln replied, "When any church will inscribe over its altars and its sole qualification for membership the Savior's condensed statement for the substance of both law and gospel, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as yourself,' that church will I join with all my heart and soul." Three questions. What was the passage I read to you about? That's another subject for another day. I'll answer that myself. Magana mumaga. Marami salamat. I just spoke, as you would call it, Tagalog. No, Tagalog. I was speaking at a church, and in the middle of my talk, some guy got up and left. And as I always do, I said, "Hey, sir, I'm not done yet. Where are you going?" It's a joke. Everybody laughs usually. Well, the guy left 5 minutes later. He came back and started charging me. I had no idea that was his first time at church, and he was a drug addict. So what really hurt me was nobody defended me. I was getting ready, you know. Pastor and the elders, they all sat there watching me. So I'm not going to say, if you want to leave, please do. I'm not going to say anything anymore. Actually, I got a Marine, ex-Marine is going to defend me. I know that, you know. So most of you will say the passage is about the Good Samaritan. But no, the passage started by the man saying, "What must I do to be saved?" I don't know if I've ever heard anyone talk, preach on this subject that I can remember. Jesus said, you want eternal life? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and then love your neighbor with the same love, and you will have eternal life. Didn't say repeat after me these so-called sinner's prayer. He said, to have eternal life, you got to love God with everything you have and everything you are. I've never heard anyone preach on this. Two, my second question. This is for you personally. If you leave out of your neighborhood tonight, you personally, not your church, not your church building, you. If you leave out of your neighborhood tonight, will your neighbor miss you tomorrow? Something to think about. And finally, what do you hear? What do you think when you hear the word evangelism? Evangelism is not about buttonholing strangers. I had a friend who would run up and down the airport. That was when you didn't have to go through TSA or stuff like that. With a button saying, "Ask me." And invariably, he'd be in God's people's faces. And by the way, I have a friend in Colombia who always calls me names, because he said, "I want to hear you preach." And so I started, just because of him, I'm going live on Facebook. I've never done this before, but because of him, I don't want to hear him say bad words to me in Spanish. So that was another joke. Thank you. He's a nice guy. He wouldn't say anything bad. And then my friend would run up and down the airport, and people would see the button and say, "Ask you what?" And then would say, "Ask me about Jesus." And then he would announce that 50 people accepted the Lord at the airport. Well, it wasn't really that. People wanted to get rid of you because you were a pest. You were buttonholing them, and they wanted to get rid of you so they would repeat after you. That's not evangelism. Evangelism is not about going door to door. What do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with an atheist? A guy who goes door to door for no reason. Evangelism is not about handing out tracts. I have handed out thousands of tracts. Thousands of tracts to Iranians at different rallies. Only one guy ever responded to it. See, when you hear evangelism, these are the things that go through your mind. And you freak out. Now you want me to stand on the corner with a bullhorn and preach at people. I'm an introvert. I don't do stuff like that. I don't want to do it. Because that's the only type of evangelism we've been taught. Or we give the impression that this is it. By the way, you can do all that stuff. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But it's not just that alone. Evangelism is about loving people. I taught evangelism and discipleship classes at a Bible college for 6 years. When I started teaching the class, I noticed that one of the requirements was that my neighbor is calling me. I thought it was my time was up. I noticed that one of the requirements was that they were supposed to go out once through the semester and witness to someone and write about it. So my students will wait till the last minute, the night before, then run out to the Starbucks around the corner and buttonhole some poor sucker who's trying to stay up because he had a graveyard shift and say, Jesus, Lord, sir, do you know Jesus loves you? And the guy would say, no, and I don't give a darn. Leave me alone. And they would come back and write one sentence. I witnessed to a person and he said he didn't care. So I realized, nah, that's not what I want. So I told him, this is what I want. You have 15 weeks of a semester. At the beginning of the semester, I want you to befriend one person, one new person you have never met before. And throughout the next 15 weeks, just journal about your friendship with that person. I don't want you to win him to Jesus. That would be wonderful. I just want you to get to know someone. 6 years of doing that, say 300 students went through me. I can count on one hand how many of them were able to befriend the person in 15 weeks. And these were our future pastors. I was asked to speak at a chapel at a Bible college once. So it was right after lunch that I was supposed to speak. So as for lunch break, I went and sat on the retaining wall that faced the hallway where people were going to the cafeteria. I just sat there. And I stared at anyone who went by. Groups of students are going by. I just stared at them. Out of the several hundred kids who went by, maybe three of them acknowledged me and just waved their heads. And then when I got up to speak at him, I said, ladies and gentlemen, I was sitting there. I could have been the guy who was about to commit suicide. And all I wanted to know was if someone would recognize me as a human being and smile at my face. And only three of you did that. For the rest of you, I didn't even exist. Let me tell you how I do evangelism. About 15 years ago, I live in an area where 60% are Hispanic, 30% are black, and 10% are others. That's how it was when we first moved there. About 15 years ago, I decided I'm going to wave at anyone who goes by my house. driving, walking, biking, roller skating, jogging, whatever. I'm going to wave at him. For 2 years. Now, I'm not joking. Person's driving. Okay? They were so shocked that some stranger's waving at him. 2 years go by. Now, I'm in the Hispanic area. Some of you Hispanic backgrounds know what I'm talking about when I say this. What some of them, showing teeth, is a sign of weakness. So I would wave and go, orale. You know, that was it. Just went on. I didn't give up. Everybody is worthy of my wave. I'm going to acknowledge anyone who goes by my house as a human being, and I'm going to acknowledge the presence. 2 years later, I'm playing with my dog outside, and this guy pulls up, rolls the window down, parking the wrong side of the street to face me. Sir, yes, you've been waving at me for the last 2 years. I thought it was about time I introduced myself to you. My name is Jonas, and I live around the corner from you. Sir, thank you for waving at me. I've had at least 2 people do that to me. A few days later, I'm in the hills playing with my dog. Our house faces hills. I'm playing with my dog, and out of nowhere, Jonas shows up, tears in his eyes. What's wrong, Jonas? He said, my wife trains dogs professionally. And I left the door open, and 2 of these dogs have gotten away. And I don't know what to do. I said, give me a hand, let's pray. We prayed. I prayed that the Lord would guide them and the dogs would come back. And that night, another neighbor found the dogs. From then on, I'm a brother. God bless you, brother. 2 years of waving. 1 opportunity to pray. Now I have a right to speak to him about Jesus. I have won his trust. I don't need to buttonhole. He knows I care. Hand out as many tracts as you want to. That's an easy way out as far as I'm concerned. You don't have to face people. You don't have to become acquainted with the pain and suffering and the dog that has run away. I don't need you to raise your hands. How many of you know 5 of your neighbors by name? Don't raise your hand. Just think about it. Thank you, sir. I know if I move out of my neighborhood tonight, my neighbors will miss me tomorrow. In fact, they have told me, you move, we're going to move out of here. They call me the block's pastor. The kids call me, hey, Pastor Shaw, Pastor Shaw. And I have never told them that I was a pastor. It's just the word got around. Evangelism is not a hard thing to do if you care for people. And if the greatest commandment God's given me that brings salvation is to love my neighbor with the same love I'm supposed to love God, we better love people. See, the problem with our type of Christianity is that I said the sinner's prayer, amen. I don't care about the rest of the people. Amen. I got my fire insurance named Jesus. I ain't going to hell. I don't care about the rest. Because we have made cross to be an end to itself. The cross is the beginning of our walk with Jesus Christ. The prayer you prayed is the beginning of your salvation with Jesus Christ. That prayer is the beginning of becoming a disciple of Jesus. And if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you got to love people. You got to care for people. Waving at people, is it that hard? Do I really need to do a four-point PowerPoint presentation of how to wave? Step one, raise your arm. Step two, put the other hand under it. Step three, start shaking it, you know? Do we really need someone to tell us to do that? I hope not. I think we are much more capable of doing things like that. I got 20 seconds left. Let me tell you how they do it in Iran. One of my disciples right now overseas, in, by the way, the video I made, the first one was 4, 5, 6 years ago. I can't remember now. Iran right now is the fastest Muslim nation, I mean fastest nation in the world coming to Jesus. One of my disciples overseas, 400 house churches with 5,000 people in attendance. 400 illegal house churches. If you're arrested in Iran as a Muslim background believer, they can give you a lot of trouble. So I was asking my guy, so how do you, I mean, with all the restrictions, what do you do? He said, number one, we pray 6 months out of the year and fast before we go out. And when we go out, we expect the book of Acts to unravel in front of us, to become real for us. He said, I go sit in a park on a bench. A guy comes sit next to me. They've been trained how to ask questions. And that's another thing, my friends. I wish I had more time one of these days to tell you how much people love to talk about themselves. And all you got to do is just ask one or two questions. And they just go blah, 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 blah. The problem with many of us Christians is that we think we have the answers to everything. So before the person even opens his mouth, like, we want to give them answers without hearing what their problems are. So he says, we know how to ask questions. So he said, I ask the person a question and start talking, and pretty soon the guy goes, you know what, man? I'm really depressed. By the way, every Iranian is depressed. And that was a good joke. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. And he... My friend says, I tell him, you know what? I read a story that really, I used to be just like you, but I read a story that really changed my life. He goes, yeah? He says, yeah, you want to hear it? Sure. He said, out of my pocket, I pull out a crumpled piece of paper that I have handwritten the first chapter of Genesis on it. Now, why that? If he gets arrested with a Bible on him, he's in hot water. But if he gets arrested, because you don't know whether you're talking to a secret police or what, and he starts talking, the guy cannot accuse him of evangelizing. He says, look, man, I just downloaded this from internet, handwritten. It's a story about God. There's nothing wrong about us Muslims talking about God, is there? No, there isn't. Okay. So he reads the story. At the end of every story, they ask three questions. What'd you learn about God? What'd you learn about man? And if this is true, what do you think your responsibility is to what you just heard? He said, I was reading it to a prostitute. And she goes, God created everything for me? Yes. Then why am I a prostitute? First story, nothing about Jesus. They have about 17 stories like that. He said, the guy goes, well, do you have any more stories like this? He said, sure. You want to hear it? Yeah. Well, listen, do you think anyone else is interested in hearing anything like this? Yeah, my wife. Good. Tomorrow, bring your wife. We're going to read the second story. Tomorrow, the guy shows up with his wife. They gave him the second story. He said, read it to your wife now. From day one, they disciple him. The guy is not even a so-called believer yet. But they teach him how to share. You see how simple it is? You see how easy it is? If we get out of our own shell and start caring for people like Jesus has commanded us to do. You know, we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I say that as a Muslim background Iranian who's lived here for 50 years now. There is no other nation on the face of the earth like United States of America. We have religious freedom that allows us to share the love of God with anyone we want to. You have no idea how wonderful it is not to fear that any second bunch of armed men can walk in and arrest all of us. But we take it for granted. Please take advantage of this opportunity the Lord has given us and introduce someone to the kingdom of God today. You can change a whole nation without ever having to leave your house. You can touch a whole nation overseas by simply taking a glass of water in Christ's name to your neighbor across the street who speaks with an accent and wears a turban. And I am an excellent example of what I'm talking about. Because about 40 some years ago, a couple of hippies took their time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this Muslim boy. And because of me, because of them, through me, thousands upon thousands of Iranians have heard the gospel. It's up to you. There was a brother who was supposed to raise his hand when I had 5 minutes. I still got time? Oh, thank you. For the rest of my time, I'll just do some song and dance. Yes. Oh, you're waving at me. Thank you. The waving means my time is up now. Oh, okay. Please, please, I beg of you. There's so many hurting people around you today. Let's get up our comfort zone and touch someone for Jesus.
Hey, Pastor Shaw, we just want to say thank you for sharing with us, but I just want to pray just for you, for your ministry, but also for our hearts. And I just remember sitting there. Evangelism, as a pastor, it makes me nervous, and I think about it. And as we're passing out flyers just the other day at Hale Middle School, and there's just so much more to just loving our neighbors and loving those in our community. And I just want to pray for that right now. If the worship people come up, I'm going to go ahead and just close this in prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you just for your words. And we just think back to that pastor's Lord, just about loving you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But then having to love our neighbors as ourselves, Lord, and having to love them with that same passion. And Lord, we just pray that as we wrestle with the grace that you've given us, and it's just unbelievable. And as we see that grace, that we would see our neighbors, and that we would pray for them, and that we would somehow be able to communicate your grace to them in just a beautiful way, that they could experience you, that they could come to know you. We don't have to worry about our intellect or our words or Amen. Any of that stuff, because that's all done by you, Lord. We just pray for the Holy Spirit to empower us to love others the way that you do, Lord, and that we would see them as you see them. Lord, we just pray for our own hearts that we would just be more focused on you and not on keyholing people or cornering people and getting some good thing for ourselves, but we would be focused on your love and the love of Christ and introducing them to a Savior that can save them. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for just Pastor Sean, his ministry to the thousands and thousands in what they call a closed country, a locked country. We thank you for allowing doors to be opened and screens to be turned on and for people to hear about the hope of Jesus Christ in Iran and the surrounding nations. Lord, we thank you for his work and for his testimony. We thank you for his message today and just ask that you would continue to just bless it, and that we look forward to the day, Lord, when we are at your throne and there are tongues from a thousand nations that will be sitting at your throne and worshiping you and praising you. And we look forward to that, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have to gather here as a local body of believers, that we could just gather here and worship you. And we thank you for that. Lord, we love you, and it's in your Son's name of Jesus that we ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'll be out in the lobby to answer your questions. Thank you.
Before we go, let's just stand one last time and sing about Jesus.